Grade 7 Conference, Lecture 13, Language Arts Introduction. I'm beginning with language arts because, though many don't realize it, Rudolf Steiner actually suggested 10 weeks of language arts as main lesson blocks, it appears, in the 7th grade. Now, of course, in Germany, they had a longer school year, still do. So we might say 8 weeks. But that's significant. I did not do that myself, and I'm not sure it's really possible. But it just brings to the fore the importance that Rudolf Steiner placed on making a connection with language, with one's native tongue. We might say, in the larger sense, with making a connection to the word. And it's not coincidental or insignificant that the two arts that Rudolf Steiner developed, eurythmy and Sprachgestaltung, or word formation, speech formation, creative speech, as it's called more often today in English, both of those were very connected to the word. Eurythmy, for Steiner, was much more important, speech eurythmy, than tone eurythmy, though tone eurythmy is generally the more appealing of the two. And it even came to a big quarrel in the construction of the first Goetheanum as to, and the second, from what I understand as well, how large the orchestra pit was going to be. And it's relatively small because Marie Steiner said the Goetheanum is the house of the word, not of music. So I'm not going to denigrate music in any way, but I just want to bring out that we probably, on the whole, do not do as much with language arts as was originally intended and may have originally been the case in the original Waldorf school. And I, on the whole, find that 7th and 8th graders in Waldorf schools are not very good in getting up and just speaking in an impromptu way. You know, often, perhaps, when your class was younger, 7th and 8th graders would come to your door and ask if they could announce some event or some fundraiser or some, you know, socially redeeming activity in which they were going to be involved. And very often, I've had my share of students coming in, and I've seen it in many, many schools that I visited. It's really amazing how fairly inarticulate they are. Okay, they're nervous, and maybe they know some of the younger students. There are all kinds of mitigating factors. But on the whole, they're not all that great at expressing a simple announcement. And in most 8th grade graduations that I've attended, it's almost embarrassing how poorly the children express themselves and how unformed, unthematic what they are bringing is. And here is one of the most important speeches that they will ever deliver. Often it's because the teachers say, you do it, it's, you know, you're in freedom, you're grown up now, you can do all of this. Well, certainly they need more help, and they probably should have the help of the teacher in giving that. But even with that help, still, it's amazing how after all of these years of reviews of stories and recitation, speaking the words of the great English poets, reading great literature, on and on and on, a good deal of it undoubtedly goes in and works in a formative way, works perhaps even into their next life or two. But it's amazing how little they are able to bring out of themselves in the sense of being articulate and being expressive. And internet or not, and digital world or not, I'm obviously all in favor of that stuff, but there is no substitute in the end for a human being who is able to express him or herself. And we certainly know, boys prove this again and again, when speech fails, then the limbs take over. And someone who's unable to express his or her emotions in a verbal way is probably going to do it in a more blatantly physical way. So there alone, just in terms of the social life of the class, for students to be able to express themselves. And that's a major theme in seventh grade. I would say that the Wish Wonder Surprise Block, as it's often called, creative writing block, of which I'm going to speak quite a bit later, but a good deal of what's going on there, I would like to put it this way. It is that we are helping children through speaking, through writing, to take the inchoate mass of emotions that lives within them, that's part of the bag and baggage of the astral body, and we're helping them, we teachers are helping them to turn those emotions into feelings. Now, we tend in America to use emotion and feeling interchangeably, but there are differences. And this is something, again, we want to look at in Wish, Wonder, and Surprise. An emotion tends to have a life of its own. It tends to be involuntary in nature, and we emote it. It streams out of us and goes into the world. And others can say, oh yeah, I know what you're going through. I have, you know, an emotional response like that too. So there's this involuntary quality which may evoke empathy, sympathy in others, may evoke surprise if someone wasn't expecting that emotional outburst, a term that we often use. Feelings, however, those are emotions that are given voluntary form, that we take hold of, that we mold, that we bring into a vehicle so that it is not just in the hope that others will sympathize or empathize, but that feeling that we express will evoke exactly the same feeling in another. And here, once again, in spite of Marie Steiner's feeling of the superiority of the word, music is the most pure and most powerful means of expressing feelings and of eliciting those feelings in others. So feeling brings emotion into a more universal space, and feeling, we could say, is the higher form of emotion. You know, feeling is the astral body touched by the ego. And as I said earlier, in my lectures on the nature of the seventh grader, that this is a very big step, that we're trying to give them through our modeling, ideally, but by finding that spark within them, we are trying to awaken a little bit of that sense of ego. And the way to do that is to go to where the student is, which is their astral body, and mine that astral body for the gold and the precious gems of egoity. And this is transforming emotion into feelings. And obviously, Steiner certainly wanted music to be a strong force in the child's life at this time. But I would say we have to think of seventh grade compositions as a kind of symphonic experience. We are going to try to help the students develop style, develop a quality of self-expression that is perhaps for some of them, boys in particular, light years beyond what they were able to do 1 or 2 years before this. Now, another mention of boys, the girl in seventh grade already in sixth grade, probably in fifth grade, a number of the girls have been writing remarkable compositions, you know, often on a great level of maturity. And what they are doing for the most part is using their remarkable endowment of memory, though seventh graders do start to have difficulty with memory because it's etheric and the astral body isn't interested in it. But nonetheless, their inherent capacity for remembering anything and everything that the teacher has said, and they're able then to form that into beautiful sentences, wonderful images. If you encourage them to use more adjectives or adverbs, that will be their compound sentences, complex sentences, you know, in a way that the girl now can write on demand, and she will be able to produce consistently extremely good souvenirs of what she has learned in the main lesson, with her own, you know, flair and perhaps some humor here and there. Boys are nowhere near that. I often tell parents that the amazing compositions that 11th grade boys start to write in the Parsifal block, which is almost something you can predict will happen like clockwork, that the boy has finally reached the level in writing of the fifth grade girl, that it's about a 7-year difference in terms of their expressiveness. That's sort of the rule of thumb, but we hope that your class will have many exceptions to that rule. You probably have in your class, let's say your class is 20 students, you probably have out of those 20, two boys, possibly just one boy, who are writing almost as well as the girls. It's probably not much more than that. If it's, you know, 5 to 10% of the boys in the class at best, and sometimes there's nobody among the boys who can really write a decent composition, who's even interested in writing a decent composition, who will not just sit there and say, I don't know what to write, I forgot, I don't know how to say that. You know, it's really like pulling teeth. So in 7th and 8th grade, this is your last chance to get the juices flowing, to get a little momentum underway, especially if they're not going to be in a Waldorf high school, which is more likely than not, and they're not going to have the wonderful English teachers with whom almost all Waldorf high schools in America are blessed. They're often the first among equals as far as the students are concerned. If you have them, okay, you can, you don't have to push as hard, but if you don't, you really want the language skills to be good for the boys. But what you will find with the boys, especially this year, where they're given a little bit more freedom in the creative writing block, is that when they finally do get into it, get into writing after a lot of trial and error, they will do things that are original. There's a quality of originality that arises in the boys, which is harder to come by in the girls. Maybe because the boys don't have the incredible memory of the girls, maybe because they don't, sort of well-nigh worship the class teacher the way the girls might. Whatever the factors are, when a boy starts to write pretty well or half decently, they start to see things in a very different way, and they will sort of stumble upon something a little bit more creative. So that's also very interesting. So really, in a way, it's like they say, when you sweep the room, you know, take care of the corners, sweep the corners well, and the middle will take care of itself. And I would say that this year, you only have so much time and you have so many students. Focus this year particularly on the boys. The girls in seventh grade will, by and large, take care of themselves in terms of writing. Or, you know, as they say, the rising tide raises up all ships. That get the boys' level rising, and the girls will then be further inspired and maybe become a little bolder in their own search for style. But also be very careful with the work with the boys, because, again, especially when you're dealing with more creative writing and that possibility, don't let the boys write things that are just stupid, because it's going to get a few laughs from the boys, and it proves to their friends, I don't really care about writing. I'm just doing this because I have to. And, you know, I'm going to show I don't really care. Don't let that attitude arise. You have to give the boys a degree of freedom, but also a lot of help with their form. So we'll go on next to talk more about the specifics of composition.